Grant wrote to Halleck just before Cold Harbor, and I'll quote him. He said, "Lee's army is really whipped. The prisoners we now take show it, and the action of his army shows it unmistakably. Our men attack with confidence." I think that Grant thought the Army in Northern Virginia was so weakened by the hammering of the previous month that it was vulnerable. And I think a final factor was that Grant, who was well attuned to the civilian front, well attuned to civilian expectations in this kind of war, knew that the Northern people were becoming more and more anxious about the absence of clear news of an absolutely unequivocal victory from the front. The Northern people really wanted that kind of news, so politics enters into this as well, I think, and questions of national morale. Anyway, Grant decides he'll make these assaults, and the word goes out to the Army of the Potomac. When the men heard about this, many of them believed that they would not have a very good chance to survive. Whatever Grant thought about their willingness to attack entrenched Confederates, they had had their belly full of that at the Wilderness in Spotsylvania, many of them. They knew how difficult that was to carry entrenched positions. One of Grant's staff officers rode among the soldiers at Cold Harbor, and he said he found them calmly writing their names and addresses on pieces of paper and pinning those pieces of paper to the backs of their blouses. There were no dog tags during the Civil War, so you couldn't use that method to identify bodies. The men were hoping that if they were killed, these little pieces of paper would allow someone to identify their bodies. Many men, of course, were never identified during the Civil War. Untold thousands lie in graves marked unknown in national cemeteries. Well, that grisly exercise of putting their names on their backs was not in vain. Heavy skirmishing took place on June 1st and 2nd along the lines at Cold Harbor. The big assaults came on June 3rd. June 3rd, 1864, when Grant hurled about 50,000 Union soldiers against 3 miles of breastworks held by about 30,000 Confederate defenders. 2 years earlier, Lee had hurled 50,000 Confederates against Fitzjohn Porter's defending Union forces on almost exactly this same ground. In fact, part of the Union assaults at Cold Harbor on June 3rd covered precisely the ground that some of the Confederates had attacked across in 1862. It was a very hot day on June 3rd. The soldiers talked about how as they moved into position, the dust, they kicked up an enormous amount of dust, and they were moving through dust, choking on the dust as they went into position. The attacks went nowhere. The attackers were decimated in most sectors of the battlefield before they got anywhere near the Confederate line. A few Federals got to the Confederate line, most did not. The Confederates were well dug in. As I said, they had ample artillery. The Federals never even really saw their enemies in many instances. All they could see was an enormous amount of smoke ahead of them, and out of that smoke coming the flashes of musketry and cannon fire. One Union officer remembered the musketry fire as one continual crash of thunder, as he called it, and a Federal soldier recalled later that as he ran forward, every member of his unit dropped to the ground. He said he looked around, he thought that he hadn't heard a command to hit the ground, but then he looked a little more closely and he saw that all of the others had been hit by a single Confederate volley. He was the only one in his immediate vicinity who'd not been killed or wounded. A Confederate soldier later told a Federal who was working with a burial party, that, quote, "it seemed almost like murder for us to fire upon you." But, of course, fire upon the Federals, the Confederates did. Most of the attacks lasted fewer than 30 minutes, and in the space of a relatively brief time, 7,500 Federals were shot down. Added to 5,000 casualties Grant had suffered the preceding 2 days on June 1st and 2nd, this is another 12,500 casualties at Cold Harbor. Confederate losses, probably about 1,500. Once again, the futility of attacking breastworks was shown very clearly. Grant later admitted, in his usual forthright way, that the thing he most regretted of the entire war was the final set of attacks at Cold Harbor. Well, the Northern public was becoming quite disenchanted with Grant. It's interesting, there's no equivalent disenchantment with Lee on the part of the Confederate public. It really is an interesting phenomenon because Lee's army was losing proportionately just as many men as Grant's.